How does one manage when you're the biggest crypto exchange in the world? I'm sure it's not too difficult for Changpeng Zhao, the CEO and founder of Binance, quickly becoming a behemoth of the blockchain world, CZ's launching new products and services, gobbling up acquisitions, and finding ways to explore philanthropy. Our exclusive interview with CZ covers a lot of ground, including what's next for Binance. So let's bounce to the other side of the world and visit China for this huge episode 411 of the Bad Crypto Podcast.
This is the best episode we've ever done. I can assure you of that. Everyone knows it.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition. Who's bad?
Building bridges, not walls, although the Great Wall of China is one heck of a wall, Mr. Travis Wright.
China.
My uncle had an angina, or is that angina, or something like that. I don't know. Welcome to the Bad Crypto Podcast. We're glad that you're here. Duck, duck, going all the things so you don't have to. I almost slipped up there. Google almost slipped out. But we don't Google that stuff. We duck, duck, go it.
You know, the only time I find I Google anymore is if I need to find an image. Because DuckDuckGo and Google Images, their images selection are totally different for the most part. So, like, if there's something I can't find on DuckDuckGo, I'll go over to Google. Or if I'm doing one of my famous tricks of, like, file type colon PDF, I'm trying to find a certain piece of information. Sometimes DuckDuckGo doesn't have it. Google does. But rarely will I go to Google anymore.
So really, you're duck-duck-googling things.
Yeah, duck-duck-goo.
Guck-guck-doogle or something like that. Okay. Got a great show for you guys today. CZ in the house. Actually, the interview we conducted with him at Virtual Blockchain Week. So if you missed that, you're not going to miss it a second time because you're here for it right now. But first, we want to give a shout-out to our sponsor, MobiPay. Hopefully by now, you guys have claimed your $10 in free MBX tokens by going to MobiPay.io. MobiePay.io. Look, when we're talking about onboarding people into crypto and making it easy with on-ramps and off-ramps from fiat to crypto and back again, these guys have got it down. This is one slick wallet that they have created. Trust us on this. Go check it out. MobiePay.io is the site that you want to go. Yo, yo.
Yeah. And speaking of money existing for thousands of years, if you haven't had a chance to go to YouTube and see my funny money presentation, I actually put together a slide deck for Virtual Blockchain Week. If you haven't had a chance to check that out, it will actually go through and explain the history of money, not only to you, but also to your friends. So maybe share that out, put a great comment on it, give it the thumbs up, smash the like button, all that.
It's funny and it's money. You can share it with your honey. I just put a link to it in the show notes for this episode. badco.in/411. You got the 411 right here on CZ coming at you. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Jal. It's been a while.
Yeah, I know you're a very busy guy, so we appreciate you making time to come and speak to this global audience tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And it's a fireside chat, so I wanted to add some fire to the thing.
Wow, nice. Well, you guys can use all the advanced features in Zoom.
There we go. I've got some fire, too. All nice. The fire. You know, when you started this thing in 2017, you were looking at the market, and you're like, oh, there's room for another exchange that does some things differently and some things better. Did you ever, in your wildest dreams, think that, you know, 180 days later, you would have the largest crypto exchange in the world?
Yeah, no, we honestly did not have that. Well, our expectation at the time, our goal, as we were set, was let's try to reach number one in 3 years. So 3 years was the target. So that's the target we set. But, you know, sometimes you get lucky.
Yeah, how was that ramp up period? Because here you are, you're like, all right, we want to be number one in 3 years. You're number one in 6 months. Like, what kind of scaling issues did you have at that time? Because for one, people want to be able to trust it. They want to make sure that it's going well and it's not crashing. And you guys did a great job of scaling this thing up. What were some of those things you had to overcome early on as you were scaling the company?
Yeah, I mean, basically, as soon as we started, we kind of identified there was a number of key issues in the industry at the time. Customer support was very bad. Matching engines are very slow. And also users' interfaces are very clunky. You have to like scroll back and on one single web page, you have to scroll back up and down to trade. And there's no mobile apps. Of the two crypto-to-crypto exchanges that was big at the time, they were only in English, only on web. So there's like, and only basically targeting Western users. So we thought there was definitely room for another exchange. So the same as 200 other people every day. So I think every day there's about 200 new exchanges coming online then and even today. We did, customer support was one of the hardest things to scale. So everything else, we can just sort of buy more servers. It's more of an online platform-driven business. And especially in those early days where we didn't have a lot of the standard operating procedures, we didn't have all the FAQs, all the training materials. So everything coming in was like relatively new to us. And I was doing quite a lot of customer support. Like there was tricky issues like how do you deal with law enforcement requests? Mm-hmm. How do you deal with a user claiming to be somebody else, et cetera? So there was a lot of tricky stuff that in the early days that basically gets escalated to me. And I think basically in January 2018, in the last in those few days, we were trading also about 11 billion trading volume per 24 hours. We had a lot of customer support issues. And last night, this morning, we're back at that volume. So we're now at all-time high volume now. And we're again actually seeing some customer support queues being formed. So we're trying to go through that. But now this time, the team is much larger, much more equipped. So we had a lot of different issues, both on the server and on... if I can recollect, most of the server issues are easier to solve. The harder issues are mostly on the customer support side.
Yeah. And what you just said... I just saw this story on Cointelegraph from the all-time high today. You tweeted out, last time we seen 11 billion was in January 2018. We've seen all-time high in trader numbers for a while, but volume-wise, today is a new record. 11 billion in trading volume over the past 24 hours. Wow.
Yeah, so I was surprised as well. In fact, I actually got woken up like at about 3 a.m. my local time. Because the volume is high and everyone's like, okay, well, let's wake Sizzy up just to make sure everything's okay.
I thought maybe you had like an implant that goes off when the volume goes, you know, super high.
No, it's just a regular cell phone. So the technology works. And so just to add a little bit, when Binance first started, we were processing withdrawals manually because we wasn't trusting the risk engines that much. So that was also a big bottleneck for the first month or so, or for the first month and a half. So this is something that most people didn't know. So you actually can launch an exchange and grow really quickly just using manual processing of withdrawals. Mm. So now everything's automated, of course. But so that was something else that we had to deal with back then.
So I want to see. So for one, thank you so much for setting up the Binance charity. And, you know, we've had so many great conversations with Jared Wynn and Helen and the team over there. You guys are doing some amazing things with your COVID for crypto. And we're very, you know, blessed to be a partner with you guys. And half of the proceeds of all the VIP tickets for this thing we have going to your charity. Maybe talk about the genesis behind and the origins of setting up the charity aspect and making sure that it's so transparent and sort of, it seems like you're kind of rethinking charity and making it so transparent. So from our perspective, we think it's very good. We'd love for you to share about this.
Sure. So the transparent charity idea is not new at all. In fact, I still have a paper that I written in 2014. It's published on GitHub. It's public for people to view. And on GitHub, you can see the last updated timestamp. So blockchain offers this innovative way, this new way of having transparent accounting, a transparent ledger. So this can easily be applied to charities to make it more transparent to ensure all the funds go to the end beneficiaries. So this idea is like I had in 2014. And also a crypto-to-crypto exchange, everybody had the idea when they joined crypto. I was talking with other people about the idea in 2013. So a lot of the ideas... But the charity project is only possible now because due to Binance's success. So in 2014, I wrote a piece of paper, tried to push it, but didn't get it, didn't go anywhere. In 2017, 18-ish, we said, well, we now have the means and resources to do this. So let's do this again. There's a few reasons to do it. There's a few advantages. Number one, we solve the problem of transparent charity. Number two, I do believe any organization, most profitable organizations today should do social impact projects. It's part of giving back. It's part of doing the right thing. I think in business, we should do the right thing. But also, once we are able to, then we should also do charity work. So just helping, finding strategic places where we can help people in need. Unfortunately, we can't help everybody who needs more money around the world, but we want to find places where that's very strategic. And for crypto, there's actually a lot of benefits. Number one is like increases adoption. Look, if I'm going to give you some donation in crypto, you are more likely to go and get a wallet or register an account on exchange to accept it. So it increases, that type of adoption is a positive first contact for a lot of people. So it does increase adoption, and it also fix the sort of negative image that was very often associated with crypto owners, thinking everybody who owns BTC is a drug lord. So that solves that, that kind of helps with that kind of narrative as well. We also see that it also helps the Binance reputation, of course, as well. And we are being much better received in a lot of areas and in a lot of countries due to the charity initiative. So there are some selfishness to it, but there's some core values we're trying to push.
Well, you know, speaking of transparency, you recently made an acquisition of the most popular site for, you know, having data related to the crypto space, CoinMarketCap. It's a significant purchase. And actually, we had Mati Greenspan was on last night sharing his thoughts. And he wanted to know how you manage the ethical boundaries of owning this accumulator of so much data and using that responsibly as the world's biggest crypto exchange.
Sure. So I think number one is CoinMarketCap. I believe all of the data they have are actually public data. So exchange trading volumes, exchange trading data, order book data, et cetera. Most of those are data that's streamed publicly to anyone who's visiting those exchanges anyway. So it's more like a public data aggregator. Mm-hmm. It is one of the most popular, it is the most popular place for people to go find that information. So it's a very useful site. I think there's a couple of different concepts there. There's independence, there's neutrality, and there's value to users. And there's sort of fixing problems the team has. So, the product has. So there are the influence it has on the community. So there's a number of those things. The team is relatively independent, but they are part of the overall larger sort of Binance ecosphere, as we say. The acquisition is 100%. So we do own it 100%. So we do have control. If we want to interfere, but I do want to for all of the Binance teams, each team operates very independently. So Binance Futures is an independent team, Binance Spot is an independent team, P2P trading is an independent team, Cross Wallet is a very independent team, WeatherX, the India exchange, is an independent team. So this independence. But we also have metrics that they need to sort of milestones they need to achieve. So both usually those are user numbers, etc. And to achieve user number growth, they need to provide a valuable platform. So they need to solve some of the issues that users are complaining about. Right now, users complain about two big issues: the trading volume ranking, the fake volumes exchange report, some of the exchanges report. And then some of the scam projects that people complain about that's being listed on there. And then there's a neutrality piece of it. So I think that's the part people are most concerned about, which is coin market cap do interface with many other exchanges. And will their ratings continue to be neutral? And I think yes. So Binance does not get any special favors from that perspective. And also, if Binance wants to buy an ad on CryptoMarketCap, Binance will pay for it. So, but to us, it's more left pocket, right pocket. One team pays the other. I think that economics still plays even within the Binance ecosphere. This way, accounting is a lot easier. How valuable each platform is a lot easier. The market value is a lot easier to determine. So we will continue to do that. I think basically people are naturally worried that now CoinMarketCap, a data aggregator, now is owned by an exchange or by Binance. But I think over time, people will see how we manage it. We will keep it very neutral, and we'll just see how things go. Yeah.
Great stuff. My next question is around, you got some interesting developments that you popped up here recently. And one is BUSD, and the other one is these Binance mining pools, and how the mining pools are doing some really interesting things in ways that other cryptos maybe aren't mining. You want to maybe talk about those topics? Because it seems like you guys are always over there innovating and creating new things, and I think this is some stuff that people need to know about.
Yeah, so Binance teams are organizing a very loose structure. So it's very... it's good in the sense that everyone gets a lot of freedom, and they get to do a lot of things, different things they want to do. And this is why there's so many different projects being worked on, etc. My understanding of the world is when people are working on something they want to work on, they do a much better job than working on something that somebody else asked them to work on. So we give a very high degree of freedom. And luckily, almost all of the work in Binance is interesting. Just different people have different interests, so they work on different things. We are loose. We give freedom to the point where it's very chaotic. It's actually if you join the Binance team, you actually couldn't. It looks completely like chaos. So you can't find any. we have the reverse side of the problem. But from an innovation perspective, it does go quite well. Most of the bigger projects, like a mining pool, sometimes the idea comes from the individual. Sometimes it comes from a conversation. We'll sit down and we'll draft out a few targets or a few OKRs or metrics that like as the initial target, and then they go away and they either hire people or attract people from other, steal people from other teams, and then go build it. But we care about execution, so everything launches. So on the BUSD side, we launched it about a year or so ago, and now it's slowly getting traction. Very recently, BitPay. Integrated that into their payment system. So now you can use BUSD to pay for stuff like they accept people from 50 states, from United States, and also globally. So that's a really strong development. So BUSD is also accepted by Bermudian government to pay for taxes. So that's also a very strong endorsement. BUSD is also regulated and fully audited by financial audit firms. And fully regulated by NYDFS, which is one of the stricter regulators in the world. So there's full transparency. The cash reserves are there. They're fully audited, etc. So it's a very fairly transparent and peace of mind stable coin. So that's going quite well. The mining pool is quite interesting as well. It came from a more casual conversation, and the mining pool we just said, look, the Bitcoin mining is relatively centralized right now. There's a few large mining pools that have a lot of influence. We want to throw our name in the hat and just say, look, we want to provide a mining pool as well so that there's slightly more distribution. We do have a reputation and also influence on users. So on the day of launch, we actually ranked 11th in the world of all mining pools. So it's not super big, but it's also not super small.
You guys had to buy a whole lot of equipment or different servers all over, or was this existing equipment that you had, you just consolidated it, or you bought a bunch of equipment for this specific purpose?
I actually don't know. My understanding is we are running a mining pool, not a mining farm. So we basically, we run mostly like a bunch of servers that runs a mining pool software with some like configurations, and et cetera. We talk to other mining farms who have mining equipment to join our mining pool. And they basically, a lot of them are very supportive, and we actually got a pretty decent hash rate right now. So based on the hash rate we have right now, we should be about one or two blocks a day based on the hash rate, because we're still quite small. But on the first day of launch, we were really lucky. So we actually had four blocks. That was pretty interesting. But it's an independent team. It's led by somebody who's proven herself, and she's very strong. So, but we thought that having the mining pool actually makes it very easy for miners to mine Bitcoins and then transfer them onto Binance.com, either sell it or stay there. They can use the mining, people can use the mining power in the future potentially for borrowing to hedge against fluctuation risks, et cetera. So there's a lot of integrations that could happen between the miners and the exchange as well. And we've seen that before, but we've seen that other people from other mining pools are asking us for that. But now we have it already. So there's some natural, synergies there. So we hope to be able to provide more value services to our users.
Yeah. We have the millionth biggest mining pool. So we're just going to try harder. One day we'll get there. You are not a guy who minces his words. And there was a kerfuffle, as some of us say, a couple months ago. Binance delisted Bitcoin SV. And you came right out and said that Craig Wright is a fraud. You know, for being the biggest exchange and pulling that from, you know, it's still a top crypto. Are you also going to pull it off of CoinMarketCap?
Not right now. So the short answer is no. No plans there. CoinMarketCap does list a lot more coins than Binance.com, just because the different nature of the business is just a data aggregator site where just giving data has much lower risks than enabling trading people's monies involved. So to be honest, the listing of BSV was a tricky decision because BSV is not just Craig Wright. I think Craig Wright is absolutely fraud. He's not Satoshi Nakamoto. I think anybody who understands crypto knows that.
Hey, don't talk about my uncle like that. I'm Travis Wright. We're not related. No, don't worry. That's okay.
That's not true. So but BSV does have a following somehow. Especially among Chinese communities or some. So what's interesting is after we delisted it, some of the other exchanges feel that there's no other liquidity and they can. There's probably large traders who think that it's easier to manipulate the prices of that coin. So that's probably the easiest coin off the top 10 to manipulate prices right now. So people do mean, so it does have high fluctuations, which actually draws in a lot more traders. So it's one of those tough decisions, but I think given that Craig Wright is so heavily associated with it, it's not worth to list it on Binance.com. But at the same time, I don't see the need of removing them from CMC just yet. We'll see.
Just yet. That's you left it wide open to pull that down.
Nothing's permanent. Anything could change at any minute. So I never guarantee or promise anything in the future. But right now, there's no plans. Yeah.
So I want to ask a question here about, so there's been some stuff going on with a lot of different crypto projects and exchanges and with the SEC, like this one firm, they went and they filed a whole bunch of different lawsuits against everybody like that was doing business for the most part in America. And it seems to be killing innovation in America because there's so many people out there that are litigious. And I think that brings down, you know, our environment overall, our community, because, you know, we can't be so, we're trying to grow this thing. We're trying to build this, you know, this amazing ecosystem. And then the regulation comes in and over-regulates in some ways and kind of kills that. Is there anything that you can talk about, you know, that stuff that's going on with the SEC? I know that you ended up having to essentially you take Binance.com and out of America and create your own new Binance.us and do business separately in America. Is there anything that you can clarify about how doing business in the crypto world in America is and how it's changing?
Sure. So I think there's a few different topics you mentioned there. I think regulatory-wise, U.S. Right now, to be honest, does not have super clear regulations, but the regulatory agencies do have a lot of power. And we don't want to step on the wrong guy's toes. So we worked with BAM Trading Services in the United States, who is our local partner there. And we set up an independent Binance.us exchange that's targeted to service US citizens or US residences. So in every country we operate, we want to be fully compliant, working closely with regulators. We don't want to piss off anybody. And so far, I don't think we have. We want to be very cautious there. whether the regulations are too unclear or too tough, too restrictive, et cetera, I do think that is probably a little bit overly restrictive in the US, to be very honest. It's just a large country, very established, multiple agencies, multiple states, a lot of, it's a mature traditional financial services market. So you it comes with a lot of baggage. So I think it would be good if somebody could actually actively loosen or draft a new set of regulations for cryptocurrencies. I think that will encourage more innovation. And also some of the crypto specific licenses are very strict in the States. And to the point where I do think it's stifling innovation. That's a personal opinion. Everybody have different opinions, I may or may not be right. On the other topic of I guess you were mentioning the class action lawsuits that was filed against us plus almost every other big player in the market. Look, it's a we do live in a free world. In that sense, anybody can sue anybody else. Unfortunately, our society have gone to the point where as soon as somebody sues you, then everyone's worried about you, you're guilty, etc. Mm-hmm. And people, investors will not invest in you, stuff like that. There's a bunch of, like, as long as you have a lawsuit against your head, then there's a bunch of negative effects. Whereas my view of the world should be that you should wait for the ruling before you, like, people should be innocent until they're proven guilty. That's the
amen, sort of brother. That's the American way right there.
Yeah.
But it should be.
It should be. So, but we're seeing some conflicting effects I think humans on this, our fundamental philosophy says we're innocent until proven guilty. And then, the way business works right now in a lot of countries, other people are unwilling to deal with you if you have a lawsuit hanging on your head. But it is a lawsuit. Anybody can sue anybody. Our lawyers are handling it. So they asked me not to comment on it. So we'll just see how the lawsuit turned out. So we'll just have to see how that goes.
So no comment. There's a little bit of irony here because while we've been talking, I received this email from Binance.us, earn 0.25% cash back when you buy crypto. I think you probably told them, make sure Joel gets this email while we're talking. We appreciate you coming on. And in closing, if you can give a hint, what is next for Binance? What big efforts are you planning?
So to be honest, we have a lot of sort of new projects kind of in the labs, in the experiment stage. But my fundamental focus, like for example, I did not know about that email at all. And I did not know they have a program like that. Binance US is ran by Catherine Cooley, and they run a fairly tight ship and independent team. From my perspective, as I was telling one of the other private conferences we had very recently, just about a week ago, they were asking everyone the question, what keeps you up at night? So my answer there was like, when crypto price goes up, we just need to make sure the system can handle it. So I think yesterday we handled, this morning, in the last 12 hours or so, we handled it quite beautifully. That's kudos to the team. So that's what I'm focused on mostly. So just to make sure that we provide the right services to our users. It's very basic.
I think Coinbase actually went down today with
Bitcoin. Yeah, for a period of time. But look, it happens to everybody. It's not like we're innocent all the time. So you, network glitches happen. It happens to everybody. But that's really my main focus right now, which is to make sure that our system can handle the load. I think very likely Bitcoin will go another 10, 100x sooner or later. It's just a matter of time. So we just got to get ready.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, you recently acquired CoinMarketCap. Some people have said the amount is upwards of $400 million. I just want to throw this out there. We have a podcast for sale. maybe a blockchain week. I mean, we'll take it.
100 million, 150, maybe even 75 million would be good.
Yeah, that's good.
Right on. Hey, CZ, thanks again for your time. We know you're a busy guy. I know the world's paying attention. Yeah. Well, thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Good to see you, and best
thank
of luck.
You. Thank you so much. Really an honor to have you here.
Thank you, Mr. Shengpeng Xiao, for joining us once again.
He's a nice guy.
I'm really impressed with him, you know, because he is a nice guy and, you know, very busy, very successful dude, but he's taken time out to be with us multiple times. So, you know, really appreciate that. And you know what? He had the foresight to launch a big badass exchange in July 2017, and he's very successful. We had the foresight to do a podcast. And
yeah, it's more like we had three sight, you know. not quite the foresight, but you know, we are glad to be here. We love what we're doing. We're launching a new show on Friday, May 29th, 4 p.m. Eastern time. It's going to be live at, what's the name? Nifty Show. There you go. nifty.show/theta. You can watch it there. You can also go to thenifty.show.com to learn more about it. We're going to be talking all things NFTs. And by now, many of you have received NFTs from us, and I can neither confirm nor deny that we have a big NFT project of our own in the works.
But we can't confirm that nor deny that.
No.
So we're not going to say anything about it.
No.
We can say something about it.
Till we can confirm or deny.
Yeah.
We come back in a week and say that thing about us doing NFTs, we deny it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That seemed to fall through the cracks. Never mind.
It's not happening. It's forget about it. Forget it. Vanquish all memory of it from your memory.
Mm. You know, Mr. Jokinam, you know what I'd like to do in the next maybe 10 episodes or so?
What's that?
Is maybe episode 425. Maybe we have another one of those fan episodes where we have like Zoom calls with them. We do like this 5-10 minute calls with fans.
Like that would be fun.
300 or whatever. That was fun.
How should we prepare for that? Do we want people to call the Bad Crypto Hotline and say they want to be in, or should they email us?
I think they can email us. But I think what we did is we gave them like a Zoom link, or we gave them like a Calendly link or something to register. Maybe they email us first, and we'll send them a link to register. Just so we can schedule like a little 5-minute call with them.
It'll be Bad Crypto Live, but not live. Like, we're just going to record it and then we'll put it out on an episode.
It's always good to talk to the fans. It was fun. I like that.
That was fun talking to the fans. All right. If you guys want to be on the show, either probably the best thing to do is write us then, because that we can track in our email, badcryptopodcast@gmail.com. Write us, put in the subject line, put me on the show, boys. But you have to spell it like boys. Yeah. And let us know what you want to talk about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell us, you want to talk about a certain coin. You want to talk about your experience in crypto, a funny story. You know, brevity is the soul of wit. So if you can keep it under 5 seconds, that'd make for a great interview. No, I mean, 5 minutes.
Yeah. 5 seconds. Hi. Bye.
Oh, great talking to you. Thanks for stay that. Bad. Awesome interview. Okay. Well, that was almost, you could have ended the show right there because you said stay bad.
Stay bad.
So is that the end of the show?
Stay bad.
Are we done? Can I go now?
I guess.
Now?
Or you can tune in and listen to another episode we've done before.
There's lots of them, by the way. The back catalog is vast and wide, and there's a lot of great content in there.
You know what? I think we're really close to a total of 500 episodes now. Like, we're in the 490s.
Yikes. Should we go back and renumber them all so it makes more sense?
Like once we hit episode 500, we go, okay, but it's episode 500 now. And here's why we're renumbering them.
And then people are going to be like, wait, what happened to 430 to 499? This doesn't make any sense. You guys can't count.
Yeah.
I told them we were bad. So stay back.
Who's bad?
The Bad Crypto Podcast is a production of Bad Crypto LLC. The content of the show, the videos, and the website is provided for educational, informational, and entertainment purposes only. It's not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, or trading advice of any kind. You shouldn't make any decisions as to finances, investing, trading, or anything else based on this information without undertaking independent due diligence and consultation with a professional financial advisor. Please understand that the trading of Bitcoins and alternative cryptocurrencies have potential risks involved. Anyone wishing to invest in any of the currencies or tokens mentioned on this podcast should first seek their own independent professional financial advisor.